I wish you all could have my seat right here. Listening to you sing. You know, people in them big churches, they have chorus practice and all that stuff without any practice. Singing from the heart. That's mighty good. It's mighty good. For our last speaker this evening, Pastor David Edmondson, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. Isaac and I were sitting up here talking, and this is what we determined. That the hallmark of David's preaching is clarity. And Isaac reminded me, he said, you often say this about David. Now you listen to him. You may not believe what he's saying, but you're going to understand it. And I pray God will make us believe it. All right, David, you can bring the message God's giving you.
Good evening, everybody. Frank called me and told me that Chris wasn't going to be able to make it. He asked me, I was supposed to go first tonight, and he asked me if I minded going second. I do now. So I'm going to preach Frank's message from a different text. And tomorrow you're going to preach the same message from a different text, Roland. As Frank said, it's the same message. Christ. Turn with me to John chapter 1, please. Let me say while you're turning that Jesus Christ and the Word of God are synonymous. Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and the Word of God is Jesus Christ. The first words of the Scriptures are, "In the beginning, God." You know, that should tell us a great deal right there. If we could really grasp a hold of that, those words, "In the beginning, God," we could go home right now rejoicing. In the beginning, God. You know, I remember as a young boy going out under a tree there at my house and looking up into the sky and considering God. I'd heard something about God, not the truth, but I would often think to myself, where did God come from? Did you ever do that as a young child? You know, you get to thinking, where did God come from? Who made God? How did God come to be? Well, God is I am. Ever present. God's always been. Now, can I understand that? Can you understand that? No. But we don't need a God we can understand. We just need God. We need a God that can save us, as Frank said. We need a God that will forgive us. I need forgiveness. I need a God that will forgive me, who can forgive me justly. I need a perfect righteousness. Not just an improvement. I need a perfect righteousness because God requires perfection, and I can't provide it. He's got to provide it for me. See, it's the same message. We need a substitute. We need a sacrifice. We need a Savior. We just need God. In the beginning, before the beginning, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. You know, I looked up that word in my concordance. The word created means choose. It means other things too, but it means to choose. In the beginning, God created, God chose, God determined and purposed. God did. In the beginning, God. God brought life into a state of being. There was no need for life until God determined it. He was light and life in and of himself. God happily existed in his own light and life. In the beginning, God. And the heavens and the earth were without form, void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. You know, without form means desolate and waste. Void means worthless, useless, empty, void of life. Nothing but darkness was there when God spoke the world into existence. Darkness means that there's absence of light. And it was present and it was deep. And what a picture that is of us by nature. My, my, before God chose to give us life, before He did, before He had mercy on us in time and saved us by His grace, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And it's no different with that darkness within our hearts. It takes the same power of God to bring light to this cold, dead heart as it did to create the worlds. In the beginning, God. God. Have you ever thought about the word, word? A word is an expression of thought. We express to others what we're thinking with words. We express our thoughts with words. So does God. And God said, and there was. God said, and there was. Words are how we express ourselves. God's first words of expression here were, "In the beginning, God." I'm God. You're not. John chapter 1. Verse 1. In the beginning was, always was, self-existent, full of life. Life was in Him. He was life. In the beginning was the Word. What is the Word? No, the question is, who is the Word? John tells us the Word was with God. The word "with" means within. I thought that was beautiful. Within means one with. In the beginning was the self-existent one, the one who was full of life, full of light. And He was with God, and He was God. He didn't become God. The Word was God. The Word was always God. The Word was always within God. Because the Word was God, this is talking about the same God Genesis 1 is talking about. God, in the beginning, was the self-existent one, full of life. He was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And because the Word was God, we have hope. We have hope because we have His Word. I am convinced, dear friends, that this is the most valuable possession that any of us have. I was in a dollar store, Dollar Tree, or one of those stores. I like those stores. I can afford some of the stuff I got. But they had a Bible. You could buy a Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, King James Version, for, I think, $1.25. I thought, what a bargain. And I'm not trying to be cute. What a bargain to have the Word of Life and not cost you but $1.25, monetarily speaking. This is the most valuable thing we have. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And you've got it right there in your lap, Marvin. My, my. Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. The Holy Spirit there is making sure that we know that it was that Jesus Christ is God. He's the Creator. He made it all. Nothing was made that He didn't make. And He was in the beginning with God, and He was God. In the beginning, God. Who was in the beginning with God? Jesus Christ. Who made all things? Jesus Christ. Was there anything made that He didn't make? No. Where is life and light found? In Jesus Christ. He was in the beginning, He was with God, and He was God. So without a doubt, Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is not from the beginning. Jesus Christ is the beginning. Jesus Christ is not in time. Time is in Him. In John chapter 17, verse 5, the Lord Jesus in His high priestly prayer said, "O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." Jesus Christ is God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews penned, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers, by the prophets. But God doesn't speak to us that way anymore. How's God speak to us now? Through this Word. Through Jesus Christ, who is the Word. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Same God. Same God. I think sometimes we were programmed to think that Jesus Christ is a lesser than God. No. Jesus Christ is God. God the Father is God. The Holy Spirit is God. And He speaks to us today by His Son through this Word, who being the brightness of His glory, now this is God's description of His Son, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the Word of His power, when He had by Himself, who's that talking about? Jesus Christ, who by Himself purged our sins, and He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. He sat down, Eric, because His work's finished. Nothing else to do. Now we can sit. There wasn't any seats in the old tabernacle. Their work was never finished, but His work's finished, and He sat down. In the beginning, God, and God sitting on His throne, ruling and reigning, having His way. Oh, don't you love it? Jesus Christ is our Savior. He's our representative. He's our sign. That word express or expression means to represent by sign. I thought even Webster's dictionary points to Christ sometimes. He's our representative. He's our sign. Where is He now? He's sitting on the right hand of God, the place of power and authority. That's the right hand of God on the majesty of God. On high. And listen, it's all concerning Him. I think I may have told you this before, but forgive me if I have, but I have a cousin who works in real estate, and one of the men in our church is a contractor, and she said, "Oh, what did David Lee preach on Sunday?" That's what my family called me, David Lee. Don't you call me that. And he said he preached the same message he preached every Sunday. And she goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry." But you understand why she thought that. He preaches the same message every Sunday. Well, he ought to be getting good at it by now. No, it's the same message. You're going to hear the same message. You're going to hear some wonderful messages of God's mercy and grace this weekend. And if they're all concerning Him, they're going to be great messages. I can tell you that. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Him. Beginning at Moses, he began to just show us in the creation who He was. What He'd done for dark, void, formless sinners. Oh my. Paul tells us unequivocally that the grace of the gospel of God promised aforetime by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures is concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. The Word of God's not about what men have done for God. That's all I heard all my life. And I never could do enough, and I never got any comfort. And when I got old enough, my parents couldn't physically make me go to church at about 10. I quit going because I had no fear of God. Not the God they told me about. It's different today. It's different today. And it's He who made the difference. It's not about what we do for God. My church has done this. My church has done that. Well, I tell you, it's a good thing. Because your God is weak and He's pathetic and He's helpless and He can't save you apart from your will. And you need a God who can do something for you. In the beginning, God. My God. The God of the Bible. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The God who saves whom He will. And those that He makes willing will be saved, and they'll be always saved. Always saved. Look down at verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. See, preacher, you've got to receive Him. You've got to accept Jesus. That's not what that means. No, that means we got to bow to Him. To receive Him is not to accept Him or reject Him. We don't try on Christ like we do a new pair of shoes. Our receiving Christ is not the reason we become sons and daughters of God. This religious world got it backwards. You know, I've gotten some great gospel outlines listening to free will speakers because you just preach the opposite of what they preach. Pretty much. I'm not trying to, bash religion. It's just a fact. It's by the power, the right, the privilege that God gave to us that enables us to receive. It enables us to believe. That's what saves us. God's life-giving power. Because in the beginning, God. That's what we see in the next verse, verse 13. Which were born, talking about sinners, saved sinners, chosen sinners, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Same God that was in the beginning. Same God that spoke the worlds into the existence. The same God that said, let there be, and there was. Lazarus come forth, and he that was dead came forth. Same God. Same God. In the beginning, before time, before creation, before the worlds were ever framed, in a time before time, from the foundation of the world, there was the Word of God. And that Word was and still is Jesus Christ. And He'll always be. He'll always be. The Word, Christ, is an expression of God. The Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the revelation of God. We cannot know God except through Christ, this Word. That's just a fact. We cannot know God but in and by and through Jesus Christ. He's the brightness of God's glory. And He's the express image of His person. I had a man recently tell me that, he said, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. And I said, no, but the triune one is. The Bible's all about Him. That's why it's so precious. That's why it's so valuable. The Lord our God is one God. God in three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When God created this world, remember what He said when it came to man? He said, let us make man. Who was He talking to? God in three persons. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. When our Lord sent His disciples out to preach, He told them, He said, make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there can be no denying that God is in three persons. We don't have three gods. We have one God. And God is revealed as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Son. No less God. He Himself said, I and my Father are one. In John chapter 14, verse 8, Philip said to the Lord, show us the Father. You remember what the Lord said? Philip, if I've been with you so long, I look at me and I look around me and I think, if you've been with the Lord so long and you don't know who He is. He said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. The one and the same, Marvin. Matthew chapter 1, we're told in verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a child, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Oh, He's God with us. God came and did for me what I couldn't do for myself. That's how horrific my sin was. It took God to put it away. And Jesus Christ is God, and in the beginning God. And God's still God today, and He's still saving sinners. You know how I know? Sun came up this morning. And if it comes up tomorrow, He's still got sinners to save. God. Man can't reveal God. Only God can reveal God. God the Son reveals God the Father, and God the Father reveals God the Son. God revealing God. Boy, isn't that a mystery? And this is how we learn of God and His Son, through the Word of God. The Lord Jesus said, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him." God gives witness to His Son gives witness to Him, and by grace and mercy through Christ's precious blood, He reveals it to His people. Other sheep I got, I'm going to bring into the fold. Same fold, same shepherd. Oh my, God revealing God. Galatians 1 verse 15, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by His grace." And if you've been called by His grace, you were separated from your mother's womb before you was ever born, before you did any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. Who does the saving? God does the saving. In the beginning, God. He's the only one that can save. As Frank so ably said. And it wasn't flesh and blood that revealed Christ to us. It wasn't the preacher. It wasn't the church. We conferred not with flesh and blood, the apostle said, but when it pleased God, God revealed Christ to us. That's the only way it's ever revealed, is in Christ. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Had to be to save me. He took on Himself the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, but He wasn't anything like us. Not without sin. In Him was light and life, in us darkness and deadness. Just the opposite. But God chose to bring life into existence. And only God could do what He did and does for us. Man can suffer, but he can't satisfy. And man can sin, but he can't produce righteousness. And he can die, but he can't give himself life. But Christ can. And Christ did. In the beginning, God. God and Christ is divine and He's human. He's God and He's man. He's the God-man. Do you understand that? No, it's past understanding. Past understanding. Do you believe it? Absolutely, with all my heart. How do you know it's true? God revealed it to me. Look at verse 4 here in John chapter 1. In Him was life. Isn't the scripture just so simple and plain? And in Him was life. There's no life anywhere else. In Jesus Christ there's life. He's the resurrection and the life. He's spiritual life. All spiritual life is in Him. Life is in Him, from Him, and because of Him. He's the life giver. In Him, we do what? Live. In Him, we do what? We move. In Him, we do what? We have our being. It's all in Him. Hannah said that when that our Lord was the giver and taker of life, that the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He brings down to the grave and bringeth up. He makes poor and makes rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He lifts the poor from the beggar. He lifts the poor from the dust. He lifts the beggar up from the dunghill. You know what a dunghill is. That's where we were. Worse. Worse. He sets them among princes. He makes sinners to inherit the throne of glory. He makes us to. Gently makes us. In love makes us. In mercy and grace makes us. He keeps the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be in silence. Job said, in whose hand is the soul and breath of every living creature? There are men that carry on in life day in and day out, don't give God a thought. And it's he that gives them the next breath from their lungs and the next beat from their heart. Speaking of himself, God said, I kill and I make alive. He said, I wound and I heal. I, the Lord, do all these things. People say, well, your God's my devil. You better get ready to deal with the devil. He's God Almighty. If he's your devil, oh my. Well, what about me? What must I do to be saved? You know, that question's asked a lot in the scriptures. What must I do to be saved? Nothing you can do. The Lord answered that. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Now, let me ask you, what can you do if you can't do nothing? I mean, really. You can't do nothing. Why you keep trying? What can you do when you can't do nothing? Sound like a country song, doesn't it? Daniel 4:35, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as what? Nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. You quoted this, and none can stay his hand. You can't put God in handcuffs. None can stay his hand. None can say unto him, what are you doing? You can't question God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's the Creator. Jesus Christ is not a lesser form of God. He's God. In Him was life. And when you put a seed into the ground, what makes it grow? You can say the sun and the water. Yeah, all those things. But you know what makes it grow? Life. Who gives it life? The only one that can. In the beginning, God. What is life? It's the light of man. It's the revelation of life in Christ. Life is the revelation, the light of Jesus Christ. You can't account for life any other way. In Him is life. Not in Him and you with a cooperative effort. In Him is life. It's His to give. And you won't get it if He doesn't give it to you. Do you want it? He makes you to want it. He makes you willing in the day of His power. What a God. What a God. Jesus Christ is the Word, the expression, the revelation of God. If this light of the life shines in our darkness and we don't comprehend it, we can't comprehend it. What can a dead man or woman comprehend? And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And verse 9 says, this is the light. Did you notice that's capital? Which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And you know that's not every man in the world without exception. I'll get ahead of myself. Jesus Christ was in the beginning. Jesus Christ was with God. Jesus Christ was God. I intend to be redundant. Todd told me one time his preaching, and I can't tell right, but it's telling what you know and then telling again what you know. And what is it, Todd? Put you on the spot. That's what preaching is. That's why when you go back home, you're going to preach this message from another text. We can't understand or comprehend God. Jesus Christ gives light to every man in the world, not the whole world, but every man who believes. You know, it's amazing to me that religion uses John 3:16 to try to convince people that Jesus Christ died for everyone in the whole world, when it proves actually the opposite. You ever really thought about it? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, now listen, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you don't believe in Him, if you don't believe in Christ, you're going to perish. And if you don't believe in Him, there is no everlasting life. And this is truly amazing. This is amazing grace. This is the cause and the proof of life. Look at verse 14. And the Word, Jesus Christ, who was in the beginning with God and was Himself God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Almighty God became a man. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. And we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, capital L. Bear witness of Christ, that all men through Him might believe. He was not that light, not John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John was not the light. He came to bear witness, to point to that light. And that's what he did. What did John say when the light came? He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." That's who this is. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of His people in this world. Look at verse 35. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as He walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." John bore witness to who Christ was. And what was his testimony? This is the Lamb of God. This is Him. This is the one that Moses told you that was coming. This is one that the prophets told you was going to come and save His people from their sin. This is who the Psalms are talking about. This is Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God. In the beginning was the Word. And that's our only hope, that He became a man. That's what John's bearing witness of. And God the Father also bore witness of it. He said, lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I accept His finished work." And you and I are accepted in Him. John chapter 5 verse 36, "But I have a greater witness than that of John," that the Lord Himself. See, He gave witness of Himself. He said, "For the works which the Father hath given Me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of Me that the Father hath sent Me." This is the one that's coming. And He's come. "And the Father Himself which hath sent Me hath borne witness of Me." Now look at verse 12 once again here in John chapter 1. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power," again, the right, the privilege, "to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." You know, there are some who hear the gospel and believe the gospel. And it doesn't matter if they're Jew or Gentile, male or free, female, bond or free, young or old, they believe Him, they receive Him, they rest in Him. Are you resting? There's no place else to rest. This is a bed you can stretch out on. This is a cover that you can cover yourself up in. These are the ones whom God gave to Christ before the foundation of the world, and every one of them will hear His voice. In John chapter 10, the Lord said, "I'm the good shepherd. I know My sheep. I'm known of Mine. And the Father, as the Father knoweth Me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down My life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. And them also I must bring." He must. And they're all going to come. Every single one of them. "Therefore doth My Father love Me, because I lay down My life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from Me, but I lay it down to Myself." I've got power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. "And this commandment have I received of My Father." Friends, Christ is the only one who can give Himself life. And you and I weren't born of blood, not of heredity, ancestry, or natural genealogy. This is not a fleshly thing. This is a spiritual birth. This is a new birth. Nicodemus was a bright man. He said, "How do I enter into my mother's womb the second time?" It's not talking about fleshly things. It's talking about spiritual birth. It's talking about being adopted into the kingdom of God's Son. about becoming a joint heir with Him in all things. In the beginning, God. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We weren't born of the will of man. That's somebody else's will. Now listen, grandmother cannot save you. She would if she could, but she can't save you. God's people are born of God. The God who was in the beginning, the God whom the Word of God reveals, the God who reveals you to you who and what you are, as Frank said, in the beginning was the God that was. God created, He chose to bring life into being. God chose, God purposed, and I love this verse, and it pleased God to make you who believe His people. And He'll not forsake them for His own great name's sake. You know what that means? That means no matter what I do, He's not going to forsake me if I'm in Christ. He's forgiven all my sin, past, present, and future, every single bit of it. I can't be held responsible for for the sin I don't have. And neither can you. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. God received Him up into glory because, again for the third time, because He accepted His finished work, and He accepts His beloved, and He accepts us in the beloved. That's the gospel. God doing for me what I can't do for myself. Now, the question is, do you believe in this God? In the beginning, God. That's the God I'm talking about. To whom God would make known the riches of the glory. Not ours. We don't have any glory. What did we do to receive any glory in our salvation? Not a thing. Not a single thing. We get no glory, Christ's glory, among the Gentiles, which is ever present, always existing. What is it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, I told you I was pretty much preaching your message. Well, I hope the next time that we read Genesis 1, in the beginning God, and John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, that we'll know who God is. You know, I haven't been pastoring long, 15 years, you know, for my age, that's not very long. But I can remember struggling in the time past about, you know, when does a small person understand the gospel well enough, you know, is there an age? And you know, I always struggle with that. And I remember telling Cody Groover one time about that, and he said, well, I had a young girl come to me about 9 years old and tell me she wanted to be baptized. I said, what'd you do? He said, I baptized her. And I said, well, why? And he goes, because I asked her why she wanted to be baptized. And she said, because I see that Jesus Christ is God. Fill up the water. You know, do you believe Jesus Christ is God? He's the only one that can save you.
David asked a real good question a few minutes ago. Did you catch it? He said, are you resting? I was, because he told me who God is. Just hearing who God is, that made me rest. Rest in Him. Oh, thank you for that, David. And I hope tomorrow morning y'all come back, 10 o'clock, Roland Browning will bring the message for us, and when he's done, Todd Nyberg will bring the message for us. We'll have something to eat and sit around and talk a little bit, and there's going to be a time of fellowship at Simpson Valley tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock, and you're all invited. So, so thankful for this evening, and I'm already looking forward to tomorrow morning. I just can't wait. But we'll thank God. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, how can we even begin to thank you for the gospel of your dear Son, that you've allowed us to hear it tonight, that you've allowed us to sit at your feet and worship. And Father, I beg of you that you would apply your word to each heart here this evening. Father, enable us to believe. Give us that right, that privilege to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to rest in him. Father, I know we ask a great thing, that you would be pleased to save all of us. It's a great thing. It's a great thing you'd be pleased to save anyone. But Father, we ask that you do it for your glory, that you get glory to yourself in saving your people, in keeping them, causing them to grow in grace by the preaching of Christ and him crucified. Father, it's in his name. For his sake we pray. Amen. All right, Isaac, come lead us in closing hymn, if you will.